TSMC has announced another expansion in the U.S. state of Arizona. It's the third fab scheduled to be completed by 2030, specializing in 2-nanometer chips or more advanced processes. The news bumped up TSMC's shares by 36 NT to close at 819 NT on Tuesday, a record high.
The rise also popped up Taiwan shares, which picked up 378 points to close at a record-breaking 20,796. Let's hear from a semiconductor industry expert.
都还没有任何的营运的状况，所以说现在就马上宣布了三厂。
The first two fabs aren't yet operational, so the announcement of a third fab at this point is largely because of demands and pressures from the U.S. Department of Commerce. The U.S. is aiming to have a 20% share of global advanced chip production by 2030, or even more, although the U.S. subsidies are just within expectations or perhaps even not as good as expected, costs in the U.S. are much higher than in Taiwan. TSMC's challenges in the U.S. will only truly start after operations kick off.
The White House and the U.S. Department of Commerce have announced up to $6.6 billion U.S. in subsidies for TSMC, as well as $5 billion U.S. in low-interest loans. The third fab will bring TSMC's total investments in the project from $40 billion U.S. to $65 billion U.S., of which about 10% is subsidized. Integrated circuit designer MediaTek is also stepping into the world of artificial intelligence.
The company has launched its newest AI platform, the MediaTek DaVinci, which it has touted as surpassing ChatGPT 3.5 in its traditional Chinese language capabilities. The company says users can interact verbally with the platform without giving explicit instructions, and the system will understand what they want.
进入房间，我们只要口语化的说，好热，我们就可以做相关sensor的一个搭配。Complain about the heat to turn on a fan and the AC unit, and voila, the temperature is brought down. Unlike conventional smart devices that need explicit instructions, MediaTek's generative AI service platform DaVinci can provide assistance in a conversational manner. The company hopes the platform will become the smart assistant that best understands Taiwanese people.
A language model called Breex, which is based on 4 to 5 million parameters, can be integrated into the MediaTek DaVinci. Its performance with traditional Chinese writing has surpassed ChatGPT 3.5 in our evaluations, and in evaluations conducted by school teachers.
With 45 billion parameter models and Taiwan-specific Mandarin terms, MediaTek says that the DaVinci platform is better than ChatGPT 3.5. It can process more than 40,000 traditional Chinese characters, 10 times more than Mistral AI's language model, which can handle just 4,000. DaVinci has more than 100,000 dialogue entries from MediaTek as its foundation, allowing it to provide custom services for home and vehicle use. It can also be integrated with employee time tracking systems and work lease systems. Everything can be handled by DaVinci, from marketing strategies and collecting news pieces to booking train tickets.
DaVinci is not a product, it's already a developed platform. We have received inquiries from Japan and even Singapore. Clients have contacted us from Asia and the Americas, and they are all big corporations that are global leaders in their industries.
And it's not just companies from overseas. In Taiwan, more than 20 high-tech companies, over 10 consumer brands and financial corporations, as well as companies in traditional industries are working together, allowing MediaTek to expand its ecosystem and make AI applications more widespread.
The consumer price index for March stood at 2.14%, according to the latest government statistics. That's a drop of 0.6 percentage points from the month before. Though the figure is above the inflation goal of 2%, it marks the lowest CPI in 8 months.
The cost of 17 government-tracked household necessities grew by 1.17%, the smallest figure in 39 months. The cost of dining out rose by 3.49%, the smallest hike in 27 months, and the first time that the figure has fallen below 4% in the last year. After restructuring of copays and medical institutions, the cost of medicine and healthcare moved higher by 4.47%, the biggest increase in 18 years. The government statistics agency says the electricity price hikes starting April are expected to add 0.18 percentage points to this year's CPI. The annual Hanguang War Games are back in action this month. Starting next week, computerized exercises will be carried out over 8 days, and the military will be using lessons learned from the tabletop version when live fire drills are held in July.
One of the key features of training this year will be rules of engagement, which define the situations in which soldiers can use force when fighting the enemy. The rules are seen as a way to maintain support from the international community in a war scenario.
First held in 1984, the annual Hanguang War Games are the armed forces' biggest war exercise, and this year they'll include currently conscripted soldiers and reservists. The live fire drills portion of the war games will take place in July, but first up is the tabletop portion.
This year, the schedule for tabletop exercises has been extended to 8 days and 7 nights. They include simulations of gray zone tactics during peacetime and a potential rapid transition from peace to war in Taiwan. Amid the Israel-Hamas war and the Russia-Ukraine war, we're concentrating on cognitive warfare, asymmetrical warfare capabilities, and our utilization of military reserves. The way we design these games takes into consideration every aspect of asymmetrical warfare, and we can use this as reference for how we can employ our troops.
The primary focus of this year's War Games is anti-landing exercises. Both computerized and live-fire segments will include a coastal command that's yet to be formally established. They'll also feature Chinese cargo ships and Taiwan's Sea Dragon Frogmen. One of the issues currently receiving a lot of attention is ensuring the legality of the war efforts. Commanders and troops will receive training on the matter to develop skills related to strategic decision-making and combat response while helping Taiwan receive international support.
This edition of the War Games is separated into two sessions, computerized exercises and live fire drills. The computerized exercises involve inspecting the procedures of command and discussing rules of engagement. During the live fire drill part, soldiers will take action while following the rules of engagement. These are cards with instructions for every soldier that tell them under what kinds of threats they are authorized to use weapons and ammunition. They even include different instructions that can be followed to face specific situations.
On Monday, civilian drones from China were once again detected flying over Jingmen's Erdan Island and Menghu Islet. Soldiers used drone jamming guns to drive them away. Unlike last year, none were shot down.
Shooting is one of our methods we may use. Of course, we need to differentiate between firing a warning shot with a flare gun, a drone jamming gun, and firing live ammunition. The situation needs to be considered, as well as the bullet's trajectory. The way matters were handled yesterday followed standard procedure.
With China using gray zone tactics on Taiwan's outlying islands, the military is ready to counter harassment from across the strait.
When the flowers start to bloom in spring, there's a restaurant in New Taipei City that takes note.
One signature dish introduces the elegant chrysanthemum to grouper, while in another, vivid bowls of roselle sit atop crispy nuggets of chicken.
Vibrant roselle flowers, as refined as rubies and just as glittering, lay tucked among fried pieces of chicken infused with zesty flourishes of roselle and kumquat. At once sour and sweet, the tender meat pairs perfectly with the fresh buds. The chicken is fried to perfection, just enough to crisp the exterior while locking the juices inside. Roselle flowers are cooked in stock to release their natural fruity flavor, complemented by tamarind, lemon, and kumquat. When it hits the heat, the caramelizing sugars bring the aroma to fever pitch.
Since it has tamarind and lemon, as well as fresh kumquat, when it's stir-fried later on, it'll give the entire dish a fruity and sweet and sour taste.
Another floral dish features chunks of grouper. The elegant scent of chrysanthemum is apparent from the moment it reaches the table, but it doesn't overpower the sweetness of the fish. The fried grouper is ready to add when the Shaoxing wine starts to simmer over high heat, giving the fish a boozy flair. Just before removing it from the heat, it's time for the chrysanthemum, its fresh petals preserving a flowery aroma.
We add the petals late because if they're added too early, first you won't be able to see them, and second, they'll burn. But if they're a late addition, the scent is more pronounced.
But that's not all. There's also chrysanthemum fried spring rolls shaped like crispy flowers, stuffed with shrimp paste. With expert use of seasonal ingredients, diners can enjoy the fresh tastes of spring.
Retired policewoman Wu Shunui traveled often between England and Taiwan to see her daughter, who studied in the UK. After leaving the force, she fulfilled a lifelong dream to open an English tea house.
There, she proudly displays antique porcelain she collected from Buckingham Palace in the small 10-ping space, like a miniature museum, attracting visitors even from abroad.
登基70周年的大牌.
Everything on display at this tea house was collected by the owner, Wu Shunyu. She's intimately familiar with every piece.
所以这个盘子就等于说，他登基70周年完之后就没有了.
The plates, full tea services, and everything in between came all the way from England to find a home in Wu's personal collection. She now uses them to serve her customers.
贵族都是使用的都是.
The aristocracy all use porcelain, bone china. Bone china is made of at least 30% bone ash. The more ash you use, the more beautiful and translucent it becomes.
Wu was a police officer for more than 20 years, serving with the mounted unit. She displays her old uniform in the tea house, as its style perfectly echoes that of the King's Lifeguard in England.
Although we have a culture of afternoon tea, it's seldom performed with such elegance or luxurious leisure. So I figured I should bring that back to Taiwan to share with everyone.
With the antique porcelain on display at this replica English tea house, every piece a treasure in its own right, there's no need to fly across oceans to experience authentic British tea culture.
More striking footage has emerged of last week's 7.2 earthquake in Hualien. Some of the more astonishing videos are dashcam footage of vehicles traveling along mountain passes near the epicenter.
The images show how debris starts pouring down from the sides, accompanied by the terrifying sounds of rocks crashing down. There's also footage captured from a plane showing the mountains down below submerged in clouds of dirt.
Streams of rocks fall onto the road. The driver backs up, scared witless. The windscreen is shattered to pieces. A thick cloud of dirt blocks the view in every direction as boulders keep crashing down. It's the fright of a lifetime. Similar scenes took place along other roads. This other vehicle was near the Tunnel of Nine Turns on the Cross Island Highway when the earthquake struck. The alarm goes off on a phone, and a rock falls with a loud thud on the car. Luckily, the driver pulled over to a ledge, watching in horror as disaster unfolds. A cascade of rocks and tree branches plunges from the sides. Within 10 seconds, nothing more can be seen as dirt pours in. After a while, the windscreen is completely covered in a thick layer of debris. The effects of the earthquake weren't just seen from the ground. From up in the clouds, a passenger on a flight from Songshan Airport to Taidong captured the scenes of destruction on the mountains. From high in the sky, it's hard to tell whether it's clouds of fog or dirt.
TSMC is known for its world-leading semiconductors, but the high-tech giant also has a charity foundation that has committed itself to helping post-earthquake Hualien rebuild.
Sophie Chang leads the charity, and she was part of a team that traveled to eastern Taiwan to inspect the damage done by last week's quake.
Almost a week after the earthquake, TSMC Charity Foundation Chair Sophie Chang took a train to Hualien to inspect the damage. She expressed that the charity is determined to help with recovery.
I came to see the damage done for the primary reason of seeing what we can do. We won't get involved in anything the government is working on. As for what the public desperately needs, we'll be sure to get to work on that as quickly as we can.
Chang led a team that carried out on-site inspections of damaged places to determine the extent of damage done and what disaster victims require. The foundation will help the area rebuild by working with the government so that the public and private sectors can get separate projects done.
We have experts who specialize in post-disaster recovery. The department will be leading the effort, so they know what the work entails.
An apartment complex on the Miluan Fault was chosen as the group's first stop. As they stepped into the common area, they saw the wall's large cracks. The building was left absolutely battered by the violent quake. A resident teared up as she described what happened 1 week ago.
He will help you.
Chang promised to help. In the afternoon, the team visited a center that cares for youth. Just 6 years ago, the TSMC Charity Foundation had donated 3 million NT to upgrade the building's seismic resistance to intensities of 7. Even then, the structure sustained heavy damage by last week's tremor.
Something just popped into my head. Every time I come to Hualien, it's to help with disaster relief. I've never come here for pleasure, so today has been very emotional for me.
Chang emphasized that the team didn't want to further burden emergency responders by potentially putting themselves in a dangerous situation, so the team only visited spots within urban Hualien. The charity hopes to start a positive domino effect in which other corporations will lend a helping hand and help provide peace of mind to disaster victims.
As artificial intelligence becomes more widespread, demand is increasing for fast data transmission technology. One tech that has drawn considerable attention is silicon photonics. In the past, copper wires were used to transmit electric signals, which are slower and less energy efficient than optical signals. Despite developments in the field, silicon photonics is still an immature technology.
In order to promote cooperation between industry and academia in the area, the Photonics Industry and Technology Development Association on Tuesday formed an alliance on the matter with the National Taiwan University of Science and Technology. Let's hear from the parties involved.
At the beginning, there wasn't any real demand to explore the technology, but now the AI craze is driving demand for high data transmission speeds and computing power. Although there has been several years' worth of academic research, the field is still relatively new. So this year, we established a research center on silicon photonics. TSMC has said that it won't know whether this technology can be developed successfully by year's end. It's still in its early stages of integration with the whole semiconductor industry, including advanced packaging.
Intel had delved into the sector as far back as 2010. TSMC CEO C.C. Wei has voiced optimism about future developments about his company's joint venture in the field with Broadcom and NVIDIA. Meanwhile, Advanced Ace Group has been investing into the technology for 13 years now. Silicon Photonics has also been listed by the National Science and Technology Council as one of Taiwan's key 22 technologies to develop. Taekwondo champion Su Boya has won gold at the Spain International Open, her second major medal of 2024 so far. The Asian Games gold medalist is going from strength to strength in her career.
She has also won lots of fans after a dramatic change of aesthetic online. Her Instagram showcases her blooming interest in fashion and beauty. The next chance to see Su compete will be at the Asian Cities Taekwondo Championships in May.
Su Boya faces off against Morocco's Omeyma Toulbouchti in the final of the Spain International Open. The gold medalist of the Jakarta Asian Games was dominant from the get-go, winning the first bout solidly and making a clean sweep of the second bout to clinch the 53kg women's gold. She posted this gold medal selfie to social media after the win. After a glow-up, Su's Instagram gets lots of attention for her shining complexion and sparkling eyes.
When I was in elementary school, Mom said I had to choose a club, and I just randomly chose Taekwondo. After I got my red belt, I went to train at the center, and then I kept training and did better and better and felt more and more satisfaction from it.
Here was Su speaking 5 years ago at the age of 20, when she usually appeared in public in her training uniform without makeup. Now, after a makeover, her Instagram is full of model-esque portraits and examples of her latest outfits. Her baby girl appearance belies her continued glory in the Taekwondo ring. Since the gold in Jakarta, she has clinched two more medals just in the first few months of this year. She's now training for the Asian Cities Taekwondo Championships in late May.
Yunlin's very own Chen Weizuo participated in a tattoo convention in Paris in February. Out of more than 500 competitors, Chen's Japanese ukiyo-e design stood out from the rest.
He ended up winning both a silver and a gold medal, securing his place in the upper echelons of the tattooing world.
The more than 500 participants of this year's Tattoo Planetarium came to Paris from all over the world to showcase their artistry and skill. Thanks to his fluid lines and vibrant color, Taiwanese tattoo artist Cheng Weizuo won both the gold for best bodysuit and the silver for best chest or back piece.
This time in France, they used Taiwan in the registration. When I got the awards, they also called out Taiwan, since someone brought out a flag.
38-year-old Chen has always loved Japanese tattooing of all kinds, so he chose the less popular and more suave ukiyo-e style to master.
The most difficult part is coloring. You have to capture both the expression and the shading. That's by far the hardest part.
Chen said he originally moved from Nantou to Yunling to try and make it, equipped with an eyebrow microblading pen gifted by his mother. He still has it and thinks fondly of the support from home every time he looks at it.
The microblading pen is from my mum. She wanted to say she likes my work, so she went and bought a pen for over 3,000 NT to give to me. Once I had been working for a while, I bought a tattoo gun.
His mother's support pushed him to work hard, practicing and researching well into the night. Now his work not only has a lot of fans, but has also found a place on the international stage. Chen said he wants to support other artists to promote tattoo culture and show Taiwan's talents to the world.